Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship. On this program, we present part one of two of our message titled, The Great Tribulation Alien Invasion. This program aired originally in 2007 and has been downloaded as of January 2009 by more than 1,000 listeners online. In this message, we will present the little-known and rarely taught fact that as we approach the time of the Great Tribulation, we move closer to a time when unknown millions of aliens will come to planet Earth. But are these aliens from another galaxy, or angels falling from heaven? You will want to open your Bible and highlight these passages as we study the Great Tribulation Alien Invasion.
The Great Tribulation UFO Alien Invasion. That's what this is about. Just to understand something before we get in here into the study, the rapture, of course, we're going to look at in a couple of weeks, is the event that is next to happen on God's timetable, God's plan as it unfolds. We don't know the day or the hour of the rapture, but at any moment, it could happen right now. It could happen before I finish my next sentence. It could happen before the Bible study is over, the end of the night. There's nothing keeping the rapture from happening any moment. Nothing else needs to happen. Christians will disappear. We don't know how many Christians there are on the planet right now. Some people put it as high as a billion around the globe. I would only say if it's that high, it's because there are a lot of Chinese Christians and a lot of people in India getting saved and places like that because they claim there's 40 million Christians in America, and I don't buy that for a second. But those who are saved at the time of the rapture, they disappear. And then we don't know how long between the rapture and the next event will take place, or how long that gap will be. But the next thing after the rapture is the signing of the 7-year treaty that we've talked about between the Antichrist, Israel, and the nation. Now that could be a matter of weeks, months, or even years. And there's nothing in the scripture to indicate that it is a short amount of time or a long period of time. And once that peace treaty is signed, that begins what's called the Great Tribulation Period. Now, we looked at the Great Tribulation Period. We saw that its main purpose is for God to judge Israel and the nations. Israel for rejecting her Messiah and for going along with this plan to divide the land God has given to them. The nations are going to be judged because they had scattered Israel around the world and they forced Israel through intimidation and threat and everything else to divide the land. And so God's going to pour out His wrath. That's why the church isn't here. It's not about the church. And when we say the church is not here in the tribulation, it's not because we don't believe God would ever let us, you know, privileged Christians in America ever suffer. That could happen any time. Christians around the world suffer, and we know that. We've discussed it. We've talked about it. We've seen DVDs. We've read the articles. We've heard the testimonies. We've been to the websites where all this information is available. Why isn't America being judged? Why aren't Christians being persecuted? I can't answer those questions, really. That's just all in the hands of God and His mercy. But once that rapture takes place and this tribulation period begins, God's mercy gives way to His judgment, and this world gets ugly. Now, let's say the rapture took place while you were asleep and you're not saved, and you wake up in the morning and you turn on the TV and there's mayhem, chaos. The world has awoken in the Western Hemisphere and around the world. They witnessed it as people disappeared, and the world is... You think 9/11, if you remember that, was chaos. That'll be a day when the whole world will just be blown away. But the fact is, they've already explained what's going to happen. The UFO followers are already saying that there's going to come a time when the aliens are going to abduct a mass number of humans because we stand in the way of world peace and we're being watched by these aliens. And they're going to take all of us who are against world peace and move us out of the way. That's how the UFO followers will explain the rapture. You go to the New Age bookstore, And you can find in the New Age section, you go to any bookstore, they have a huge New Age section, and you go there and they explain it as those of us who are in the way of world peace, us fundamentalists, we are going to be removed by the spirit guides who will take us and basically re-educate us one way or another, somehow or other. And then, here's the thing, they both teach that after a period of time where we're off in either a planet somewhere or in some spirit realm, we're going to return. And when we return, we will be transformed and we will be willing to go along with peace on Earth. Now, if you listen to that closely, that's very close to what really is going to happen. We're going to disappear and we're going to come back after 7 years or more. So a little over 7 years. But the problem is we're not being taken out of here by UFOs and aliens to be re-educated and come back. We're going to be with Jesus Christ. We'll go to the judgment seat of Christ, celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we'll return with Jesus. It'll be as He conquers, sets up His kingdom, and then we rule and reign with Him. Well, during that time of tribulation, after us Christians have disappeared and the world thinks the UFOs took us or the spirit guides took us, during that period of time, Jesus says in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, if you will study history and take this seriously, that'll send chills. If you look at the history of the tribulation that has hit this earth in the past, and then realize that Jesus said, this will be worse than anything we've ever experienced. The People's Revolution in China, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, the Nazis in Germany, the fascists in Italy, the Cuban Fidel Castro Revolution in Cuba, where they just took Christians by the dozens out and shot them in the head. And then you go back through history and you see the Crusades, you see the Inquisitions, and there was horrible times of torture. They imprisoned people and put them on racks and stretched their bodies till they snapped. They would boil people in oil. They would rip them open and disembowel, and all these horrible deaths that people suffered. And you could go on and on studying the history of war, the Great War, they call it World War I, and how many millions of people died, and it was mustard gas and other types of biological warfare, and the machine gun just mowing people down. And then it's just gotten worse since then. And you think of all this mayhem and all this death and all these horrible things going on. And Jesus said that what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation is worse than any of that. And you think, well, what kind of things are going to happen? And a lot of Christians have looked at this and I think they just kind of give it a once over. They don't really look in depth. But the fact is, if you did a realistic movie on the Great Tribulation, they wouldn't show it in theaters. The rape and the murder and the bloodletting and all the evil that's going to take place during the Great Tribulation period, if it was made into a realistic movie, would not be allowed to be shown in theater. And most Christians I know don't think of it in those terms. And that's why, in ignorance, a lot of Christians start to say, well, I think the Christians are going to go through the tribulation period. They have no idea what they're talking about. If they just would understand what the tribulation is about and what it's actually going to happen during that tribulation period. Look at verse 37, and we're going to look at one facet of this tribulation period that the world, I think, by and large, is totally ignorant of. What you're going to hear tonight is going to be something that the mass majority of American Christians are totally clueless about. They have no idea. And Jesus said in verse 37, in the same chapter, "But as the days of Noah," that's Noah, "were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." In the days of Noah, people will point and say, well, they got on a ship and God closed the door and the rain came and everybody died. He didn't say on the day that Noah got on the ship. He says, as the days of Noah were. And what were the days of Noah like? I want us to look at it in Genesis chapter 6. And keep in mind what you read about in this passage is going to be repeated during the tribulation period. And if you understand what it really says, it's a pretty blood-curdling to think about. We'll just start in verse 1 in chapter 6. It says, and it came to pass when men... Now, there's a contrast here. The contrast begins with men. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Here comes a third group of people. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. When it says men of renown, it's talking about those gods that you read about in the mythologies. When you read about Zeus, and you read about Hercules, they're massive, they're strong, they're superhuman. And that's exactly what they were. Those characters were based on reality. And during this time, there's a few things to point out. And number one, these sons of God were angels. I want you to turn to Job 38. There are people who would try to convince you that the sons of God were the Sethites, the offspring of Seth. And that's ludicrous. It makes no sense. And the Bible itself is its own commentary, and that's why whenever the Bible contradicts these men with their commentaries, then you ignore the men. And the Bible says in chapter 38, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. In the context is verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Jump down to verse 7 again. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This is a reference to angels. And in back in Genesis chapter 6, it says that these sons of God, it doesn't say all of them, it says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And it says that they were they took them wives. This was a massive, it was kind of like what you may have seen during battle. And the way battles were fought up until recently, United States of America, that we've had some soldiers do the things that have been done throughout the centuries in warfare. But for the most part, American soldiers have not just taken the women as slaves. They have not, we don't take the land. Colin Powell said in a speech a couple years back, what sets America apart from other countries is when we went in and we took Germany over, we didn't claim it. Germany didn't remain a part of America, and the only amount of land we asked for was enough land to bury our soldiers. That's not true about any other nation in history. And they're asking Israel to do that as well, but what Israel's taking is their own land. And we have this example in Genesis 6, these sons of God, when they took over, they just took whatever women they wanted, and it's basically forced marriage. And they forced the daughters of men to bear the offspring. And that's what happened in most wars throughout human history. They won the war, then they took the women. And the women bore them children. And then they got larger as a nation. And that's what happens here. And Jesus said that during the tribulation period, this is the kind of thing that's going to happen. Now, we're going to see in a minute that the Bible tells us that that's what's going to happen in some very clear passages of Scripture. But I think it's real interesting to look at what's going on now. I picked up a couple of articles. Here they are. Right now, they're playing with the human DNA. And they are actually already tinkering with human beings. And this thing called genomic research. Researchers at the International Human Genome Project. This is from a magazine called The Futurist. It's a secular magazine where they keep an eye on what future trends in different areas, and one of them is in science and biology and that sort of thing. The article is written a guy named Patrick Tucker. He says, genomics may also one day enable otherwise healthy individuals to change their own DNA to improve athletic prowess or brain power. Or, and this is where it gets a little scary, or allow the wealthy to artificially conceive genetically superior progeny, like a superhuman baby. As new gene treatment options spring into existence, many people are seeking the line between legitimate gene therapy and superhuman enhancement. There's a book out on it, Babies by Design, by Ronald Green. And he explains that there's this thing called germline gene modification, and it's done before birth. One example of germline enhancement would be imbuing a developing embryo with certain characteristics seen as desirable, thus designing a baby. You can design its looks, its height, hair color, eye color. A guy named Marcus Gromp, a fellow at the conservative Westchester Institute for Ethics and the Human Person, he says, quote, "It was very clear from day one that genomics could be used to change our species genetically by manipulating the germline." But he, in turn, has argued against doing this. But in Babies by Design, it's a book that gives four principles for keeping this ethical, as they put it. At the same time that this is going on, there's this thing called, I know you've heard of this, artificial intelligence. And they believe, these guys, this is another article by the same guy, that the artificial intelligence revolution is right around the corner, to where they'll be able to create robots that are very human-like in their ability to learn, and the ability to actually take in new information and learn from it. Now, you think about it, that's already happening to on a very small scale, on a very small level. But, you know, scanners take, and they now don't just take a picture of something. They take that, and then they can immediately dump it into a form where the words are all registered, and they can spell check, and they can do word searches and everything just from scanning. Well, then that you just take that logically and you continue to add to that capability, and you come up with something that is actually what they're doing is learning. They're writing books and articles, How to Survive a Robot Uprising. That's how far they've gone in their minds, this whole thing. Here's some of the headlines. This is just in the last 6 weeks. Green light for hybrid research. This is in England, BBC News. Regulators in the UK have given scientists the green light to create human-animal embryos. Did you get that? Human-animal embryos. The Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority granted permission after a consultation showed the public was at ease with the idea. Experts said it was vital for research into life-threatening diseases. We've ever heard that before. Hitler. This whole thing is just becoming a part of our culture. Scientists, this is another one, this is from Wired News, this is the headline. Scientists build first man-made genome. Synthetic life comes next. Scientists have built the first synthetic genome by stringing together 147 pages of letters representing the building blocks of DNA. The researchers used yeast to stitch together four long strands of DNA into the genome of a bacterium. They said it's more than an order of magnitude longer than any previous synthetic DNA creation. Leading synthetic biologists said with the new work published Thursday in the journal Science, which you may have heard of, may or not, the first synthetic life could be just months away. The guy who mapped the genome is a guy named Craig Venter, and he claims in the Sunday Times of London, this is January 27th, he says, last week, that thrilling but unsettling goal of creating, they call it a Frankenstein, appeared to have come a step closer with the announcement by Craig Venter, the maverick scientist, that his laboratory had constructed the world's first completely synthetic genome. Well, then they went in February 5th, also London. Embryos created with DNA from three people. British scientists say they've created human embryos containing DNA from two women and a man in a procedure that researchers hope might be used one day to produce embryos free of inherited diseases. See, the whole reasoning behind all this is to help. It's to help people with diseases and to get rid of diseases. Here, this is in the United States. This was back actually November 1st. I never heard anything about it. But it was reported in the French press. U.S. researchers have engineered a line of what they call mighty mice, whose human equivalent would have similar abilities to the bicycling champ Lance Armstrong. The breed of mice can run 6 kilometers, which is 4 miles. Think of mice running this far. Mice running 4 miles at the speed of 20 yards per minute for up to 6 hours without stopping. And they say they've already done that, and guess where they did it? Case Western Reserve, Cleveland, Ohio. They cloned 2 men and then created an embryo. You know what that's all about. Same sex. Dozens. Now, this is just, these are all connected to what we're talking about tonight. Dozens in a Texas town report seeing a UFO. This was the Associated Press, January 15th. Several dozen people, including a pilot, county constable, and business owners, insist they have seen a large silent object with bright lights flying low and fast. People wonder what in the world it is because this is the Bible Belt, and everyone is afraid it's the end of times. There's an article here about UFO researchers going mainstream and how mainstream scientists are now coming on board with the whole UFO thing. Of course, we've got a private thing going on called the SETI Project with dozens of satellite dishes trying to hear aliens talking on their CBs out there. Yeah, Burger 19, this is Mars, Craig. You know, what do they think they're going to hear? And they say they're listening for things that would sound like radio signals. So you got this thing that Jesus says it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. And in the time of Noah, the sons of God became mortal. They took on themselves the form of man. You think that's weird, but as you go through the scripture, every time you see an angel appearing, he looks like a man. Angels don't have wings. Satan has wings, I believe, because he was a cherub. But Satan wasn't an angel. You hear people say he's a fallen angel. Satan's not a fallen angel. Satan was kicked out. But he took some angels with him in the past, and I believe he's going to do it again. A lot of people try to say, well, is this about the past or the future? I think it's both. I think the Bible teaches there's a time when Satan took angels, and there's going to be another time where Satan brings some angels. And we'll look at that again in a little bit. So you think about this time when angels are going to come to earth, and the Bible talks about them being cast to earth. This will have to look like an alien invasion. Well, the world's ready. A 1991 Roper poll reported that 4 million Americans claim to have been abducted. That's not just people saying, I saw something up in the sky and doesn't know what it was. I mean, that's all a UFO is. UFO just means I saw something that didn't look like an airplane. I'm not sure what it was. It wasn't a helicopter, so I'm not sure. And that's reported as a UFO. I'm fine with that. I think our military's got all kinds of UFOs up there, and probably other countries, including Israel, probably flying around UFOs. I think that's all those are. But there are 4 million Americans. And if these 4 million Americans vote, they're the ones picking our next president. Because you look at it, the last couple of last couple elections for sure, but I think all of the last four were decided on less than 4 million votes. And you've got 4 million Americans who think they've been abducted. So the world is ready for this whole alien thing that they're not going to understand what it is because they don't know the Bible. Listen to this. This is just in Great Britain. Since 1950, there have been more than 10,000 officially reported UFO sightings in Great Britain alone. They're being investigated by the government. And of course, Dennis Kucinich, who was running for president, he claimed to have seen a UFO while he was visiting Shirley MacLaine out in Washington State. But here's what I found so interesting about these so-called alien abductions. 4 million people in this country who think they've been abducted. This is a definition that's shared across the board. I found it on this place called Crystal Links and several other places. This is the definition given for the abduction phenomenon. It's an umbrella term used to describe hypotheses, claims, or assertions that non-human creatures, usually aliens in parentheses, kidnap individuals. They took them wives. Kidnap individuals, sometimes called abductees, usually for medical testing or for sexual reproduction. Now, you think about that. Why are all these people, that's the standard, that means the majority of the 4 million who claim to have been abducted, believe that this abduction is taking place for either medical or sexual reproduction, which just happens to be what Genesis 6 said happened when the aliens came, and what the Bible says is going to happen when the aliens come again. And you say, why are you calling aliens? Because unless you understand what an angel is, you're going to think it's an alien. And the world thinks that an angel is a good-looking thing with wings. And when they see a real alien, the way the Bible defines an angel, when they see a real angel, they're going to think it's just an alien. And so the world is really ripe and ready, prepared for this. Now I want you to look at Jude, just as a confirmation that what we're saying about this is true when it comes to the sons of God and the angels.
If you watch Discovery Channel, I've watched, I think, all the programs about it, but around 1, 2, and 3 o'clock, those are the Galaxy Show programs. And the one program that I've seen, showed, they said something about 4 million people believing they were abducted, and they showed all around the world, people saying what they thought. And the person said that she contacted the alien, she didn't make that any speak with her, one has abducted.
And you think of the woman who says she can let them speak to her, that's just demonic. She thinks it's an alien. And the demons, the devils is what we ought to call them, the devils don't think or don't care what she thinks about them or what she believes about them as long as she opens her body up for them to use for their purposes. In Jude, down in verse 6, it explains, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner. Now, understand this. He's talking about the angels. They left their first estate, left their own habitation. And what did they do? Well, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude explains it beyond a doubt that these angels left their place as angels in the spirit realm, and without God's direction and permission, they rebelled and they became mortal flesh, so that they could then do, among other things, force women into sex and reproduction.
You will want to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com and download part 2 of The Great Tribulation Alien Invasion. You can click on our MP3 sermon page or click on the sermonaudio.com links and download this and any of our other free audio messages. This program was brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Thank you for listening.